Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your presence in our lives and situations. Thank you for how you help us to overcome the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs you have given to us by your power. Thank you for blessings we have received from you. Thank you for the honor you have placed on our lives. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for glorifying yourself and your name in our situations. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for using the same things the devil meant for our downfall to lift us up. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your light that is shining in our hearts and minds, the light of your word, the light of your truth, the light of your kingdom that is shining in us and saving us, setting us free from darkness. Thank you, Father. You have caused us to know the truth, and you have delivered us by the truth. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the teachings you have released unto us in this ministry. We thank you because through these teachings, our lives have been transformed. Through these teachings, we have seen your glory. We have known your grace. We have known your victory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for previous classes we have done in this place, on this platform, previous Bible study classes. We thank you for how you open our eyes to deep things in your word, deep things of you and of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Father, we have come together once again to learn and to study. O Lord, minister to everyone. By your Holy Spirit, communicate to every heart your knowledge, your revelations, your wisdom, and your understanding. I ask, O God, that you take over this session. Let every spirit of distraction go into captivity, and let our lives be changed for the best. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do beyond our request. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence, and we will be continuing from where we stopped last week. You know, we have been looking at a title or theme that I call Building a Strong Discerning Spirit. Building a strong discerning spirit. And we have we have concluded with the introduction. Now, we will be going to part one. There are five parts, part one to part five. So, we'll be starting part one. Yeah, and part one says the origin, capacity, and abilities of the human spirit. The origin, capacity, and abilities of the human spirit. So when I say origin, I mean, where does the spirit of man comes from? Where does the spirit in man comes from? And then when I say capacity, I'm talking about the length, breadth, height, depth of your spirit. How wide is your spirit? Yeah, how much can your spirit stretch itself? Yeah, that's what I mean by capacity. Yeah, which also means the strength of your spirit, especially in the area of what your spirit can process, what your spirit can contain. Yeah, like we have with Android phones, there's what we call RAM in phones, and there's what we call ROM. I think it is the same with computers. Every computer, whether it's a laptop or it's a desktop or it's an Android phone or whatever phone, there's what we call RAM, which is random access memory. There's what we call ROM, which is read-only memory. So there's what we call internal storage. Yeah, so that's just an example of what I mean by capacity of your human spirit. So it's like saying the RAM of your human spirit and then the ROM of your human spirit, the internal storage, how much information can it store, and then how much information can it process. Yeah, and then you can even say the battery, it also entails the battery. Yeah, just like your phone has a battery. Yeah, so that is what I mean by capacity. Yeah, like how fast can your spirit pick things up in the spiritual realms? Yeah, something like that. So we still go into details. And then the other word is abilities of the human spirit, which is what your spirit is capable of, what your human spirit can do. Yeah, especially when God is using it, or when God is moving through your spirit. Yeah, so that is abilities of your human spirit. Now, let's move to the first point in this part one. I believe you're taking notes of these things, yeah, because there's so much we will talk about. And these are things you're not supposed to forget even in 10, 15 years from now or 20 years. Yeah, there are things that should be part of your life. So if you just take these teachings casually, you're not taking notes, you will lose a lot because eventually you will forget. And it will not produce the fruits that God wants these teachings to produce in your life. it will not produce the transformation, yeah, because you are not taking record of them. Yeah, so everything I say, you should have record of them. Everything I say about this topic, from the introduction till now, you should have record of them. And I know what I'm talking about. So we are moving to the first point under this part one. The first point, and the first point is your spirit came directly from God and had known God from the beginning. Your spirit came directly from God, and your spirit have known God from the beginning. Your spirit came directly from God and had known God from the beginning. Yeah, so what do I mean by that? If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, you will see how man came into existence, the process and the the operation of God, what God did that brought man into existence. I read, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Lord God formed man using the dust of the ground. And after God has done that, he now breathed. Just like you breathe out. You know, you breathe in oxygen, you breathe out carbon dioxide. So just as you breathe out, so God breathed out from inside of him into that form of man that was made from the dust of the ground. And the Bible says immediately that breath of God entered through the nostrils of that form, man became a living soul. So that form that was on the ground, or whichever platform God placed it, yeah, that form was lifeless. It has no life. It couldn't speak. It couldn't breathe until God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and then man became a living soul. So what can we see from this? We can see that man did not live until God breathed the breath of life, the breath of life into his nostrils. Man did not live until God did that. So now, the spirit that gave man the life he has, or the life he have, came directly from God. Yeah. So that spirit has been with God. That spirit that entered into the nostril of that form of man that was made from the dust of the ground, that spirit has been with God. That spirit has been in God. That spirit has known God. Yeah, so that's what I meant by saying that your spirit came directly from God and had known God from the beginning. So God have had that spirit. God, or maybe I should put it this way, God have had the spirit of man in him for maybe billions of years before he now said, okay, now we want man to live separately from, it's like God saying, now I want man to live separately from me. So it's more or less like man has been inside God as a spirit. Before that, Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, man has been inside of God as a spirit. And God now said, okay, now it is time for man to live separately and have a body. So that was when God now formed man from the dust of the ground, and then he now breathed that spirit that he wants man to have, or that spirit of man, he now breathed it into what he has formed from the dust of the ground. And then man now became a living being. Yeah, some translations say man became a living soul. I think that's what King James Version said. And some other Bible translations said man became a living being. So what made him a living being was the spirit or the breath of life that came from God. So, which means that, we are still going to talk further. Now, let's look at the book of Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32 verse 8. Job 32 verse 8. I read, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Yeah, so this spirit that is in man is the kind of God that is in man. Yeah, because it came directly from inside of God. And we know that God is a spirit. So this verse is saying that there is this spirit in man, and by that spirit man gets inspirations. Yeah, there is this spirit in man, and by that spirit he can hear from God. By that spirit, he can receive messages from God. By that spirit, he can receive insight from God. He can receive understanding from God. Inspiration actually means that something flowing from God into you. That is inspiration. Something flows from the heart of God or from the mind of God into you, into your own mind, into your own heart. That is inspiration. So just the way you breathe in, that is what inspiration means. Like you breathe something into you. So something came from God into you. So what makes us get inspiration and revelations is because of our spirit. Because of the human spirit. Yeah. So that is it. Now I want us to also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Yeah. So, I said it in this point, I said, your human spirit came directly from God. And your human spirit have known God from the very beginning. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that your human spirit is the same with the Holy Spirit. No, but I'm just saying that your human spirit originally came from God, and that your spirit has been in God for a very long time, maybe billions of years, before God decided that let us make man in our own image. Yeah, man has been inside God in form of a spirit. So now, the only part of you that can know God, that can communicate with God, that can see God, touch God, receive from God, is your spirit. Yeah, it's not your soul, it's not your body, it's your spirit. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, there is a lot of mysteries in your spirit that you must discover. Yeah, a lot of mysteries in your spirit that you must discover. Remember that I said that your spirit has been inside God for a long time, even before Adam became a living being. Your spirit has been in God. So, and by the time Adam began to give birth to children, new creatures of humans came into existence. And each of these creatures, they are unique. They are unique in themselves. Yeah, even if you give birth to twins, those twins are not the same. They are unique. So see it this way that all of us, before the beginning of time, before the foundation of the earth was laid, before God began to create anything, see it as all of us have been inside God as the spirit. Yeah. All of us have been inside God as a spirit. And you will see Apostle Paul, in some of his letters, you will see him use words like, he will say Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, that have been ordained before the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the world. It's like God has chosen him as an apostle before the earth began to be created by God. I don't know if you are getting the point. You can read the Bible, you will see it there. Yeah, Paul will use those languages, or he will make such statements like God has ordained him as an apostle before he created the world, which means before even Adam existed. So Paul is trying to say that I have been inside God before time began. So that is the origin of you and I. Yeah, so as I was saying, there are mysteries about you that you must find out. Yeah, in your walk with God. In fact, one of the things God began to show you is your divine identity. For those of you who really have a strong and very close and very consistent relationship with God, you can confirm with me that one of the things the Holy Spirit will begin to do in you is to reveal your divine identity, who you really are, not the one that your parents gave birth to. I'm talking about the one that have existed even before your parents existed. So the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal to you your identity, who you really are, and why you were born and why you are here in the head. So there's a lot of mysteries about you, a lot of mysteries. My whole life began to change the moment I began to know who I am in God. In fact, that was the point of my transformation. That was the point everything began to change in my life. The way I see myself began to change. The way I see this world began to change. The way I relate with people began to change. From the point I knew who I am or maybe I should use the word from the time I began to know, because even now I'm still knowing who I am. I've not known all that I am in God. I'm still knowing. So to show you that there's a lot of mysteries about you that God wants to show you, that God wants to tell you. Yeah, and everything you will become in this world is connected to your identity in God before the world was created. So meaning that you have a lot of work to do in seeking God, in prayer, in fastings, that God will show you the mystery of your identity in Him. Yeah, you have a lot of fastings to do, a lot of prayers to do, a lot of questions to ask God, a lot of things to seek for in God about your identity. Yeah, about your identity. So that is the first point, which is your spirit came directly from God and had known God from the beginning. Okay, let me also mention this. I was listening to a preacher some time ago, and he was asking some of the audience, he was asking them questions. He said, how are you sure that you are born again? And some of them were surprised to hear that kind of question. Yeah. He was asking them that, how are you sure that you are now a son of God? You are now born again. Some of them were saying, I believe I am born again. That is by faith. Yeah. And some other people in the audience gave different answers. Yeah. But that man of God now gave his own answer. So, which I did not forget since I watched that program, and I'm going to share with you what that man of God told the audience in Romans chapter 8 verse 16. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. I read, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the person now said, you will know that you are born again because your spirit confirm that you are born again. Like your spirit will confirm it in you that you are born again. So whether you will feel it, but somehow your spirit will just confirm it that you are born again. So which means that your spirit has been in God before, and something happened along the line. Your ancestors, Adam and Eve, they were disconnected from God. They lost that intimacy with God, and they died spiritually. We'll still come to that also as the teaching goes on. Your ancestors, they sinned against God, so they died spiritually, and that spiritual death led to physical death. Because if we didn't die spiritually, we would not be dying physically today. So we are dying physically today because we already died spiritually in Adam. When Adam ate what God said he should not eat, then the generation of man died and we lost immortality. Yeah. So, but that one is another discussion. Now, my point is that you were in God as a spirit before God created the earth and before Adam came into existence. So now when you become born again, or at salvation, that spirit that has lost contact with God from the Garden of Eden. Because when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, all of us, we also fell with him. And you can see that in Romans 3 verse 23. It's a common verse. It says, "For all have sinned and have fallen short the glory of God." Romans 3, 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So, the moment Adam died spiritually in Eden, or the moment he sinned, every one of us, because we are inside Adam, you and I, every one of us, at that point, we also died and we lost connection with God. So what born again does is that your spirit that has been disconnected from God, or that has been practically dead, now suddenly reconnect with God, and now suddenly come back to life. So that was what Romans chapter 8 is talking about. That Romans chapter 8, verse 23. It's not 23, is 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children, we are the children of God. So your spirit now kind of, how will I put it? Let's say a child and a parent, a child and the parent, they have lost contact since when the child was 10 years old. Yeah, the child have lost contact with the mother or the father since when he was 10 years old. And then the child is now 35 years. They now go to see each other again. You know, that joy, that excitement, that is exactly what happens when you give your life to Christ. That's exactly what happened at salvation, and that is what born again actually means. So that joy, that, I lost relationship with God in the Garden of Eden, now I'm reconnecting back to God. So that life, you can literally feel that life when you give your life to Christ. You can literally feel that life in you. You can literally feel that joy. You can literally feel that peace. You can literally feel that deliverance, that forgiveness, that acceptance. So that is what makes you to be sure that you are born again. That thing that witness in you, that thing that kind of leaps up in you, yeah, that is the assurance of your salvation. Your spirit coming back to life is the assurance of your salvation, is the authenticity that you are now saved. Yeah, the deliverance of your spirit to know God again. So that is exactly what Jesus came to do. Yeah, to reconnect us back to God. So the relationship we lost in Eden, now he has come to reconnect us back to God. And that is a spiritual relationship. So you feel free in your spirit. You feel received by God again in your spirit. That is how you know that you are born again. Yeah, that is what happens when you give your life to Christ. The witness of your spirit. Your spirit comes back to life. Yeah. So, which means that if in you there is no witness that you are a child of God, then it means you have not experienced salvation. Yeah, then it means you are not yet saved. Yeah, so there must be a deliverance that will happen to your spirit, that will reconnect your spirit back to God. There must be a revival that will happen to your spirit. So it's like that spirit has been dead, and now it has come alive to know God. So that is what salvation is all about. Yeah, you can literally feel that life. You can literally feel it, that now I'm alive. Now I have been joined with God again. Yeah, now I am connected with God. Yeah, except someone that has not repented and surrendered and fully surrendered his or life to Christ, we say that what I'm talking about is not real. So what I'm talking about here is very real. So you will literally see yourself connected with God. Yeah, that is what born again is all about. Yeah, so let us move to the next point. Yeah, I hope you understand everything I have said in this first point. If you have questions, make sure you ask questions. Yeah. Yeah. So the second point is, your spirit gave life to your body. Remember, we are talking about the origin, capacity, and abilities of the human spirit. So the second point says, your spirit gave life to your body. Your body is existing because of your spirit. Your spirit gave life to your body. Your spirit gave life to your body, and your body is existing because of your spirit. Yeah, and I think in this generation, I mean, in the generation of people today, or Christians today, I think reverse is the case. I said your spirit, your body is existing because of your spirit. I think in today's generation, the reverse is the case. What do I mean by the reverse is the case? Now, people see their spirit existing because of their body. But that was not the case from the beginning. From the beginning, your body is existing because of your spirit. Not that your spirit exists because of your body. I don't know if you are getting the point. Your body is existing, is living because of your spirit. So your spirit is meant to live its life through your body. So your body is just a container, a house, a vessel for the spirit to live. Yeah, that is what your body was from the beginning. So which means that the purpose of God is in your spirit to be manifested through your body. So which means that without the spirit, your body is nothing, useless. Yeah, without the spirit, your body is dead, nothing, useless. Yeah, I believe you're getting the point. And this is the same with every other creature in heaven. If you study angels, you will see that the look or the appearances of angels is in agreement with why they exist. Angels take forms that will help them to fulfill the purpose for their existence. Some angels can be very huge, very tall. They are like that because that is how they will fulfill the purpose of their existence. And some does not even have a form. Like some angels, you can't even see them. They have no form. They have no, when I say they have no form, meaning that they can be in a place and you can't know that they are there. They are just like formless. Why? Because their purpose is to not be known. They were created to do operations. And why doing those operations, they must not be known. They must not even be seen. I don't know if you're getting it. So in heaven, we have angels that have no form. They are formless. And some, the form they have is to enable them carry out the purpose for their creation. Why? The why. The why behind their existence, why they existed, they take the form that will help them fulfill the reason why they existed. So in the same way, because the kingdom of God has a pattern, so God used the same pattern for angels to create man too in the Garden of Eden. So the body God gave man was to enable the spirit of man to live its life to the fullest. So, which is why I said your body is existing because of your spirit. It is sad to see Christians who see their lives as in their bodies. They see their life as, you know, as their life is in their body. Your life is not in your body. Your life is in your spirit. So your body is just the instrument that will help your spirit to live the life God has given it to live. And it is in that life that your calling is. It is in your spirit that your calling is. It is in your spirit that your purpose is. So your body is just to let that spirit live. So which means that without you being spiritual, you cannot fulfill your divine purpose. You fulfill it from the spirit, and you fulfill it as a spirit, not as a body. So the people in the science, they are trying to isolate the body from the spirit. They're trying to make you feel like your life, your function is in your body. They're trying to make you feel like this is the best I can do with my life because this is how I think. This is my temperament. This is my physical appearance is how I look. So because I look this way, this is how I should live, because I look this way, or because I reason in this way, or because I feel this way in my body, so this is how I should live my life. Or they have, you know, put all manner of ideas. Maybe from childhood you have been fed with all manner of ideas, all manner of culture, all manner of knowledge about what life really is. And those ideas, those knowledge you have been fed from childhood now inspire certain ambitions in your life. So you feel like, because I look this way, or because this is what my parents told me, this is how I grew up, so this is how I should live my life, this is the thing I should study in school, I mean, this is the course I should study in school, this is the profession I should choose, this is the kind of job I should do, this is what I should live for. So all of those things are junks, and they are completely wrong. I don't know if that's the word to use. All of those things that you have been taught, I'm talking about things you grew up to know, things you grew up to, choose or to embrace and say, this is how I want to live my life. In as much as it is not from God you have learned those things, in as much as it is not God that is saying those things, they are completely wrong. So all those ambitions, they are wrong. Why? Because your life is not to come from your soul. The life you will live in this world is not to come from your head knowledge. It's not to come from the environment of this world. The life you will live is to come from your spirit. Yeah. Is to come from your spirit. How you will live your life, what you will do with your life here on earth, what you will live for, who you will live for, is to come from your spirit. And it has been in your spirit before the foundations of the earth were laid. Your purpose, your calling has been in your spirit. But the reason why many people have been misled and deceived to begin to live another life different from the life God has put in their spirit is because they are not saved. So they have not met with Jesus. They have not met with Jesus. So it is when you meet with Jesus, you surrender to Jesus, that Jesus will now wake up your spirit that has died. Jesus will wake up your spirit. Jesus will revive that spirit. And it is that time that Jesus can now begin to speak to you through your spirit what he has in mind for your life, why you are here, what is his purpose for your life. So that is how you will know. So anyone that is not born again, anyone that is not saved, anyone that that has no relationship with God, anyone that has no connection with God, anyone whose spirit is not connected to God, cannot fulfill God's purpose on earth. The person might look successful today, the person might look rich, wealthy, the person might look might appear to be manifesting certain gifts and talents and might appear to be doing well in that talent, inasmuch as that person is not connected to God, that person is not fulfilling God's purpose. Yeah. That is the point. So we have people who in their heads think they have arrived, they have achieved the Lord, because their ambitions came to pass, and they think they are fulfilled or they are fulfilling their callings. But in heaven and before God, they are fulfilling nothing. Yeah. Why? Because they don't know God. Their spirit is dead. Yeah. The only place their purpose and calling is dead, which is their spirit. It is from there, they can access who they really are and why they are here. Yeah, so I repeat the point again. Your spirit gave life to your body. Your body is existing because of your spirit. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 15. I read, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." And then verse 15, "And the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Yeah. So the life God gave man was to carry out a function for God, was to carry out a business for God. Yeah. So that spirit God breathed into man that make him a living soul was to carry out a specific function for God, a specific assignment, a specific business for God. And that was why God created man last. He had already created everything he wanted man to dominate, to manage for him. So man was created as a manager of God's creatures, of other, you know, of God's creatures, God's resources. Man was created to manage it, and man was supposed to start doing it from the Garden of Eden before man will now spread into every other part of the world. So God planted that garden, and then he puts man in that garden to keep it and to dress it. Yeah, I will still come to the question that you're asking. Yeah, so in that verse 8, it says, and the Lord God planted a garden, and then he put the man inside that garden. Yeah. So, God gave man two things. He gave man a body, and then he gave man an environment. He gave man a body, And then he gave man an environment. Yeah. So man began to man began to function through that body to do something for God in the environment God has put him. So the same thing now, because Jesus came to restore all things back to the beginning, and even to make all things become more glorious than its way in the beginning. So even the same way God has liberated your spirit, so that your spirit can begin to carry out the purpose of God for your existence here on earth. Yeah, and then God is going to put you in a garden, just as God placed Adam in an environment. God is going to put you in an environment, and then he is going to demand that you begin to live the life he has put in your spirit, to begin to live that life, to begin to function according to what he has put in your spirit. In that environment, he will put you, just as he placed Adam in that in the garden environment. So I hope you are seeing the connection. I'm taking it very slow so that you can fully understand what I'm talking about. So let me say it again. What I'm saying is that your body is existing because of your spirit, and also praise God. Yeah, so what I'm saying is that just as your body is existing because of your spirit, or maybe I should say because of the life that is in your spirit, or because of the purpose that is in your spirit, or the calling that is in your spirit, the same way the environment God has put you is existing. Yeah, for the same, the environment God has put you is existing for that same life, for that same purpose that is in your spirit. Yeah, so which means that you are in this body to carry out a purpose for God. And you are in this earth to carry out a purpose for God. Yeah, that is what it means. Now let's look at Mark chapter 15. Verse 37. Mark chapter 15. Verse 37. And that this was how Jesus died. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Yeah, so what does it mean to give up the ghost? So it's more or less like to say, God, take my spirit. So give up the ghost means you hand over your spirit. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the network is not stable. So in that Mark 15:37, we saw how Jesus died, and in some other part of the scriptures, we saw how Jesus prayed by saying, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then here it said Jesus cried with a loud voice and then gave up the ghost. So I'm just trying to show you that the body, your body is still alive because your spirit is still there. Yeah, so, and then your body living, your spirit, means that your spirit cannot live anymore. So that alone is enough to preach to us that the life in the body is not from the body. Yeah, that alone is enough to preach to us that the life in our bodies is not from our bodies. But science will tell you that it is wrong. Science will tell you that science will tell you that you are still alive because you are breathing. Science will tell you that you are still alive because your heart is still beating. But that is not the truth. The truth is that you are still alive because your spirit is still in your body. Yeah. So the moment your spirit is out, that is when you die in this body. Yeah. So that is the connection. So that is to tell us that that the one who gives life to the body is the real person that we are. Yeah, that we are not the body, but we are the spirit, which I'll still come to that. Yeah. So let's look at another scripture in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Yeah. God said, in the day you eat of these fruits or of this tree, you shall surely die. Yeah. But man did not completely die. Yeah, because if man completely died, you and I would not be born today, because instantly Adam and Eve would have ceased to exist. Yeah, but because God had a plan of redemption, that was why he only reduced the number of years that man will live in this body. He reduced the number of years. Yeah, he did not completely wipe man out when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. But man actually died to a large extent, to a very large percentage, man actually died, which was the reason why Jesus came to restore us back, to give us life, to restore us back to God, so that we can have connection with eternal life that we lost in the Garden of Eden. So Jesus came so that we can have that life back. So which is beyond living in this body. That life is called eternal life. The life that Jesus came to connect us with or to give to us is called eternal life. So which means that through that life, we will live forever, even in this same body. Yeah, though there is a timeline God have set for it, like God have set it that that some will die, and then later they will come back to life again, they will resurrect. But if, let's say, the rapture takes place now, some will not even die at all. Immediately, in a twinkle of an eye, this your earthly body will suddenly pick up or turn into a spiritual body. This body will put on an immortal body. And with that immortal body, you will enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah. So with eternal life, even if you die in this physical body, you will still rise again. Yeah. And you will rise back to life again with an immortal body, a body that cannot die. Yeah, which was the body God gave Adam. It was a body that should not die. There was no plan that that body would die. But because they had the fruit, they disobeyed God, that was when this body started dying. Yeah. So my point is that Jesus has come to restore us to what we lost in Eden. Yeah. And by that restoration, we can now live here on earth to fulfill God's purpose and to fulfill God's calling, to fulfill the reason for our existence. Yeah. So that is the point. So that man that died in Eden, will now live. I mean, you that died in Eden spiritually, you will now live again to fulfill God's purpose. Or maybe I should say, you are now living again, because now you are born again. I believe you are born again. So, which means you are now living again to fulfill God's purpose. So you are not living for yourself. You are not living for this body, but you are living for God as just a carrier of you. So the real you, when you have been born again, the real you is not your body. The real you is your spirit, is a spirit. Or maybe I should call it a spirit. Yeah, because even your human spirit will be changed. Yeah, when you give your life to Christ, that is what born again means. It means your spirit has been delivered, and then your spirit has been transformed to a creature that pleases God. Yeah, so that is point two, and I think this is where I'm going to stop. Though I'll go over the question that has been asked. So before I stop, let me read the point again. I said your spirit gave life to your body, and your body is existing because of your spirit. Yeah. So that is the second point. So let me look at the question that is here. It says that is why we're created with different colors, shapes, height, because of our calling. So those who are altering how they look are also trying to alter the purpose of God for their lives. Like, what you're saying is, since I said our look and appearance is connected to our purpose and calling. So does that mean those that are trying to change the way they look are altering the purpose of God for their lives? Yes. Yeah. Yes. In as much as that thing they are doing on their bodies is not how they were born, definitely anything they do to their bodies will affect how God wants to use that body, or how that body is meant to fulfill God's purpose on earth. Yeah, like for instance, in some countries, there's what they call transgenderism. Yeah, we have some people that call themselves transgender, meaning that, I mean, I don't know if that's how they call it, but I know that concept is transgender or transgenderism. Like some people were born as a man, now they are changing their shape, their body to look as a woman. Definitely that is an error, and that is an offense against God, and that is an attack to their purpose. It's just like they are by themselves, using their own hands, destroying the purpose for their existence. Because if God sent you into this world as a woman, your purpose is connected to your gender. Yeah, in fact, your purpose is connected to your look. Your purpose is connected to even the color of your skin, just as you have said. Yeah. So, trying to change it, maybe you look a bit dark, and then you want to become light. Yeah, is definitely against the law of creation. Yeah, and which is the law of God's purpose, because every creation is for the fulfillment of God's purpose. So try to alter your appearance, your look. Yeah, so a woman trying to become a man is an attack on the purpose of God for that woman. And a man trying to become a woman is also an attack on the purpose of God for that man. Yeah, because our identity is connected to the purpose of God for our life. So you should not at any time regret the color of your skin, even if some people are trying to make you feel inferior because you look like a black person, or you look like a white or yellow, or whatever is the skin of your body. So don't let anyone make you feel inferior because you look in a certain way. Because there's a reason why you are looking like that, and that appearance or that identity is connected to your purpose and calling in life. Yeah. So if you're a woman, stop trying to become a man. Yeah. And stop trying to has been in nature from the beginning. So I hope I've answered your question. So we're going to stop here, and we'll continue from here next week. If you have questions, you can ask on the Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for everything you have made us to see during the course of this teaching. We thank you for showing us who we really are, and that our identity is spiritual and not physical. Our identity is that of a spirit and not of a body. Thank you for making us to realize that we should live the life you have placed in us, and not the life we see in this world or we feel in our bodies. Thank you for many other things you have opened our eyes to see. Lord, I ask that this knowledge, these truths, will change the life of everyone that have listened in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, I ask that you deliver as many whose spirit is under the bondage of carnality, worldliness. As many hear my voice, O Lord, whose spirit has not been released to do your will in the head. Lord, by your mighty hand, deliver them now in Jesus' name. I pray that henceforth your spirit will know God. Since your spirit came from him and your spirit had known him a long time ago, I pray that henceforth your spirit begin to know God in the name of Jesus. And I pray that God begin to show more of himself to you from within your spirit in the name of Jesus. And through your spirit, you shall do great exploits for God's kingdom in the head at this time in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.